Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. Let's stand and read the scripture together. Stretch, yawn. Be sure your watch has got the correct time and it's running. I do all that before I get started preaching. Get all your notes tossed and all your chewing gum put back in your wrapper or on the bench or wherever you put it. Now, touching 1 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. That's correctly read. Now, that's these three verses in 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, the first three verses. Let's bow heads and pray. I want to preach tonight, as God would help us, on some things that I do not know. Some things that I do not know. Now, I could give you a great list of things that I do not know, but I just want to share with you tonight of things I do not know. Let's bow heads and pray now, and ask God to have His way tonight, and use the preaching of the Word of God, that people might be stirred and people might be saved, born in the kingdom of God. But John, where'd he go? You pray for us, son. Amen. You may be seated. Paul said here in the first letter to the church in Corinth, and in chapter 8, he said that if any man thinketh he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing. And I'm convinced that the longer I'm saved, and the longer I preach, the less I know. Now I know that sounds strange, but the more I find out that it's God that's doing all of these things, I find out the less I know about what's going on. I remember when I first started preaching, a fellow come up and asked me, he said, where did Cain get his wife? I said, I reckon over to mother and daddy's house. I just really don't know. And then a fellow asked me where God came from. And I said, anywhere he wants to. And then a fellow asked me, said, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? And I said, that all depends if you're on the farm or down at the grocery store. And so I knew the answers to those things. But there's a lot of things I do not know. But there's some things that I do know tonight. I want to share those with you by way of introduction. And then I preach on some things that I do not know. And go out of the way. I want to hear Brother Lee preach tonight. And, just anybody wants to preach. I just want to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Now, there's some things, although there's a lot of things I do not know. I'm not a theologian. I am not a doctor. I tell you, there's a lot of things that I do not know. But I tell you, there are some things that I do know. I know, first of all, whom I have believed. I tell you, I begin to read the Bible, Paul said, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I read that verse for a long time and wondered why Paul didn't say, I'm the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I know who I have believed in. I wondered why how the Spirit of God did not allow Paul to say that. That's probably what I would have said, you know, if I was writing something down. And so I found an English teacher and I asked her, I said, why is it that it's worded that way? What is the difference between whom and who? And here's what she told me. And of course, she's a Christian. I'm teaching in a Christian school. I asked nobody else. But anyhow, she said, well, here's what it is. She said, if you use the word who, it'd be like about seven or eight little soldiers standing over here in a pile.
and said, you just went out there and took your pick around. But somebody said, whom? Said, the only Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, they're standing over here, and Paul looked all these others over and said, I know whom. I have faith. I can say this. But here's one of a kind. I want to say, now thank God, I know whom I am believing, brother. I can my faith is built on nothing less than Jesus and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but holding on Jesus' name, and I know from all whom I believe. Now, there's a lot of folk that don't know, brother. You're going to fix him and knock on the door and begin to witness him, and they don't really know. And God, thank God tonight, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded, as Paul was, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him on birth that day. I know whom I have believed. Amen. And then I will say, I know I passed from death unto life. I know I passed from death unto life. 1 John 3:14 said, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. I said, boy, it's good to know tonight if I would have to die, if I would have a heart attack, or my blood pressure wants to blow my head off or something tonight while I was preaching, or if I just wouldn't lay down the bed tonight and didn't wake up anymore. It's good to know that I passed from death unto life. I say, I just barely did make it through high school. And if it hadn't been for a couple of pretty little backhanded drums, I know I don't want to make it through high school. I told them a lot of things I don't know. And if there is something I know whom I believe, and I know I'm part from death unto life. The reason, because my sins have been forgiven. I know my sins have been forgiven. He said in there, I feel their iniquity, I will remember no more. Turn over quickly to a couple of verses. Look in Exodus chapter number 34. Exodus chapter number 34. Exodus chapter number 34 and verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression on sin. Listen now, turn over to the book of Job, chapter number 14. The book of Job, chapter number 14. And in Job, chapter number 14, and verse number 17, the Bible said, my transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sawest up mine iniquity. Now look in the book of Micah, the book of Micah, chapter number 7. And in the book of Micah, chapter number 7, let's get from our own place, Joel, a little bit. You may not be able to find it, and so I'll just go ahead and read it to you. Verse number 18 said, who is like a God? Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He repenteth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Listen now, he will turn again, he will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquity. It says he will subdue our iniquity. Listen to what the dictionary said about subdue. It said to overcome, to conquer, to prevail by force. But I want to tell you something. There was a time, thank God, that my iniquities were up before me. And there was my commission. Let me come here. All my iniquities were there. But they were greater than I was. Come here, son, you. The littlest one of you, come here. Come here, hurry, hurry, hurry. Come here. I can't bear to like this. Get on your knees, son. Here I am. And here's my iniquities. And my iniquities were gone. I'll tell you, go like you're going to catch them, son. But the Bible said that God came and he subdued them. He subdued our iniquity. He overcame our iniquity. He conquered by force our iniquity. And then the Bible said in the book of Job, and he overcame them, and he subdued them, they sent him back. And in the last part of that verse, after he subdued them, after he put him in a bath, he tossed him in the dark of the sea, brother. Thank God I know that I don't pass from death into life, but because my iniquities have been subdued by God, lost sold up in a bag, cast in the dark of the sea, thank God, never be remembered against me anymore. Well, I like that he subdued them. He subdued them. I believe that's what the British ought to do to them Argentinians. I believe that's what we ought to have done to Iran. I believe we ought to subdue them, Daddy.
Oh, I tell you, when I was cut way up in the deep,
I tell you, ain't it good to know the English?
Hey, good boy, just to have a good old Webster's dictionary. And I looked that one up there, and it said to overcome, to overtake, by force. But I say, thank God for my mad sin, and my iniquity. I've been overtaken by God and tossed down the depths of the sea.
I know that.
I ain't guessing that. I know it.
What I tell you, I cannot tell you anything about the law of aerodynamics. I don't know anything about the law of force and thrust. I don't know anything about all those great physiological.
I just barely can't say that.
I don't know anything about all that. I don't know what the algebra equation is. I couldn't work a trigonometry problem if they put a gun up to my head.
Oh, but listen, brother. I know the hell I believe. Amen.
I know a path from death and alive. I know, thank God, my sin has been forgiven me. There are some things I don't know, but thank God there's some good things I do know.
But I know he hears and answers prayer. I said, I know he hears and answers prayer. 1 John 5:15 said,
and if we know that he hears, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him.
I said, well, it's good to know we got a God tonight. I said, he ain't asleep. God's not going on a vacation. God's not also wearing a mystic robe. Well, he can't hear him. What's going on? The Bible says he knows what we have need of before we ever pray, brother. I'm glad, but thank God tonight we got a Savior, brother. We've got a Heavenly Father that not only hears our prayer, but he answers our prayer.
Then I know I've been called of God to preach. Paul said, but when it pleased God, he separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. I want to tell you something, fellas. I didn't read my calling out of the Bible. I didn't sit down one day and decide to be a preacher. I didn't think that. But I'll tell you, if I had, what's my son? Go ahead and do it. If I'd have done that, I'd have undecided about right now. Amen. But I tell you, I didn't decide to. I've got a heavenly divine call from God. But I tell you, I know I've been called from God, brother. I'd preach the Lord. I'd reveal him unto the heathen and send baptism. I know I've been called of God. I'd preach. Mama didn't call me. Body didn't call me. I didn't go up and get some fire testimony, and they should have been called a preach.
Matter of fact, they said the opposite. They said he'll never make it.
I got a chance about,
I think it was about 6 weeks ago, I got to preach in a church about a mile and a half where I got saved.
Old mossy back hypocrite and deacon was there. That he's the one that told me, I said, you'll never make it. Said, you won't never amount to nothing. And I did, brother, I didn't just come right out and say it, but I got over and preached all around him. I said, get off the pew by him. I said, boy, I can't be called of God to preach.
Amen.
It's not my little place, you know. I came right out and said it, but I sure loved to be him. If I could have said it, but I don't tell some people, I know I've been called to preach. I don't know about you, but I know I've been called to preach, but God's called to preach the word of God.
I know that. I tell you what,
if you knew it, you'd preach more. I didn't want nobody to call me. I got on the radio watching. I got me a radio and a crate. I got on the crate down at the parking lot. Got on the radio. I didn't ask for nobody to pay for my radio. I didn't get on that so well. Now, we're going to have to go off if somebody don't send some money. I paid it myself, brother. I got me a tent to get to preach in a tent. I had 6 months back in the passion. I said, I know God told me to preach.
I know it. Do you know it? Well, I know one day I'm going to have a brand new body. I've used about that much of it right now. Amen. But I tell you one day I'm going to have a brand new. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if I open the house of this tabernacle, it is all we have a building of God, a house not made with hand, eternal in the heavens. Well, Paul, I know when this little body was there, Paul rolled back, he had the cake that bore Corinth, he had to comfort them about those that slept in the Lord. He said, I want you to know it's not going to prevent them. It ain't going to hinder them one thing. He said, I want you to know the difference that they're going to hear the first trumpet and you hear the second. But I want you to know ain't nothing going to prevent them from rising and being with the Lord. And what I'm going to do, I know I've got a brand spanking new body. Then I know who my superior are.
That's what the Bible said, Bill. This is a sweet one. I got a message I won't get preached here. I got a message the Lord gave me in heaven. I preached on how heaven is without doubt the most wicked place there is. And I said how the many people wouldn't like it if they could get there. They wouldn't like how we worship. They wouldn't enjoy the music. They wouldn't like the length of time that we're there. They sure wouldn't like the dress code. We're all going to be wearing robes. And then they wouldn't like all the shouting that's going on. That reminded me of a time a lady told me in my first little church, she said, I want you to know, son. I said, God ain't dead. And I said, no, man, ain't her. He ain't no receiver. And all this don't bother God one little bit. I said, Lord, child, this time somebody, in mind, brother, I will tell you something tonight. I know, brother, I know who my superiors are. Listen to what Paul said in his letter to the Thessalonians. He said in verse number 12 of chapter 5 of the first epistle, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very high in love for their work's sake, brother. I know who my superior is. I will say something to you tonight. I know you've done that, but you're facing the Lord again. The church ain't no democracy, brother. The church is a theocracy, and since God's in heaven, it leaves a man of God to run the whole shebang. When I go to church, if that preacher tells me, said, you call on the pew and pray, that's what I'm doing. He's my pastor. He's my pastor when I come here. And he's my authority, and he's my supervisor. And he's the one that's over me. He rules me while I'm here. And I know who my superior is. And then I will say, there's one more thing I know. You remember over there in the book of Job? You know, I believe one of his friends came over. He said, Job, do you know why it is that all your cattle are dead, all your sheep are dead, and all your oxen and all your donkeys and all your... Job, do you know why they're dead? Job said, no, I don't know why they're dead. And one of them came over and said, Job, do you know why all your young ones died? Job, all your daughters are dead. Job, all your sons are dead. Do you know, Job, why they're dead? Job said, no, I don't know. One of them came over and said, Job, do you know how come your wife went to the curse God and die, and she ain't with you no more? Job said, no, I don't know why. They said, Job, do you think you know? Yeah, he said, I know more than demon living. Hey, men of God, brother, I know them. I thank God now that demon living. And boy, he's going to stand in the last day and thank God for the skin ones that die. His eye is straight. I'm going to show them when they thank God. I know my Redeemer living. My Redeemer. Buddha looked down there and saw me down there in that pit. He said, if I could have got to you before you got down there, I could give you a bunch of rules to go by and hit you out. Muhammad Confucius came over and looked over and said, if I could have just got to you before you got down that pit, I could have hit you out. I could give you some standards to go by. And I tell you, they come by. And I tell you, the Lord Jesus came by. He looked over and he saw me in the pit, go to hell. And Jesus said, he jumped right down in there, reached down over there and scooped me up out of that mire, washed me off real good with the water hose of the Word of God. And I tell you, born me new in my heart, set my foot on the rock, established my ground, put a new song in my heart, even praise the Lord, and ministry of sin. I'm Lord and my Redeemer Lord. We'll tell you something else too. I don't have to turn around to the east to wave at him. He's right there. I just wave at him there, brother. I said, he ain't that far off. No, sir, me. No, he ain't far off at all. I know my Redeemer living. I tell you, I'd rather know them things that I know than to know all things ever educated man, ever philosopher, ever educator, ever been to war. He take all of their knowledge and combine them. Thank God, I'd rather know those few things I can, brother, that I know who I believe. I know my sins are gone. I know my Redeemer living. Praise God. When I have a brand new body, I'd rather know all of that. You know what Paul said in that same chapter there? Thessalonians, didn't he say, for you know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night? You know perfectly. That's perfect knowledge, isn't it? So you know perfectly. Well, that's some things I know. That's why there's a whole lot of things I don't know. Let me give you four or five of them, and then I'll be through. Number one, I don't know another name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. But that name, Jesus. Amen. Acts chapter number 4, verse 7, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men
whereby we must be saved. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Welcome, God of high exalted here, and give him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Praise in heaven, praise in earth, praise on earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But I will tell something, I don't know another name. I don't know another name but a given under heaven. I tell you, God, we must be saved. But that name, Jesus, brother, why you take those names in the Old Testament, if I take just a few minutes, I'll give them to you. Now, if I was smart as Dr. Rutman, I wouldn't have to read them. But I ain't that smart. But I will read these to you. That is the name I'm getting at, though. Amen. I know some things. That is the name Elohim. That means the mighty supreme creator. Psalm 2570 times in the Old Testament. That means that God was and he is and he shall be. And that's Jehovah. And the name Elohim means the mighty supreme creator. The name El Shaddai God, that means God Almighty. The word Adonai means master owner. And then there's those seven compound names of the Lord Jesus. Yahweh, Rophaim, Yafah, Makedah, Shalom, Akiskan, Oroi, and Shama. That means God the provider, God the healer, God the banner. It means God the sanctifier. It means God our peace, God our righteousness, God our shepherd, and God's there. And but if you'll get the New Testament, you'll find in the New Testament that there's a reference for every name of God applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so I tell you, thank God, he is the one that created this whole thing. He's the mighty supreme creator God. Revelation said he is, he rises, and he is, he shall be. But I tell you, thank God, he's God Almighty. He's the master and the owner of the flock. He's the provider, thank God, of our needs. He's the healer of our body and soul. He's the God over us, which is love. He's the sanctifier through the truth and word of God. He's our peace, thank God. He said, I'll leave with you. That is the world given. He's our righteousness, thank God. And he that yields sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He's our shepherd, hallelujah, to God. And he's the God who is there. And all of these, now I've got the scripture reference, if you'd like to have them, if they get through, that attest to his name. And what happened? What happened when the New Testament was written and Jesus came? God got all of his names. He got all of his names. And that was that little old babe running over in the manger, down there in Bethlehem of Judea. And God went over and got all of his names and poured them out over in Jesus. And Paul got the happy body, said in the book of Colossians, now all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. But I want to tell something, thank God, they are not enough. I don't know them. But I say, I don't know another gospel. Paul said, if any man come and preach another gospel, which is another gospel, how then you'll receive from us. Let him be accursed. Let him be cast into hell. Paul said, there's not another gospel, brother, except the gospel of grace. Grace, grace. Any other gospel. There's not another gospel. Not another one. But the gospel of grace of God. The virgin birth. Somebody said, I don't like that. I don't care who you like it or not. I like it. I like the virgin. You know, I got saved and didn't know it. I didn't like the virgin birth when I got saved. But the first time I heard it, I believe it. What about that? I say I didn't know all the ramifications still though. But the very first time, that wasn't hard for me to understand though, that God could do that. It wasn't hard for me to understand that God could make a man without a man and just use a woman, because he made Adam and Eve, not either one of them. And so that didn't bother me too bad. I didn't have no problem with that, brother. I believe in that virgin birth. I believe, thank God, in that perfect life of our blessed Cater. I believe the blood of Jesus on Calvary's grave. I believe that. I remember that little way, you know, that got saved when he was about 55 years old. Went off to some liberal. Now, boy, I said, that just about interesting. You want to go? Liberal Bible school. And when she got out of that liberal Bible school, she had a liberal teacher. And he began to teach about the many hymns in the book about the fountain filled with blood. He said there's no significance in a song like that. Said there ain't no song. There's not a song like that. That little lady that said walk with a walking chain. And said when she'd get trouble, she'd tap a walking chain. And said son, she sounded like one of them little shortwave deals over there. One of them little telegraph things. She'd have tapped that thing, but it's tapping it. And finally the professor said, Miss Smith, have you got something to say? Said she stood up and tapped that cane. Said, sonny, the reason you don't believe in that fountain filled with blood, cause you ain't never been there. Oh, but she said, I've been to the fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein. She was trying to be thankful, lose all their gift this day. And she says, you ever get there, you believe it. Amen. Amen. Ain't never got no more gospel. The gospel of the death, the birth of the death, the bell and the resurrection. My Savior. Ain't never got it. Somebody said, I thought you had to get the Holy Ghost to be saved. You do. You certainly do. You've got to be baptized by the Holy Ghost to be saved. But you don't say, heal them and send them to the power of the carnival salon and higher. You don't do that. No, you quit cussing. Stop talking to brand new tongues. Amen. You quit fussing on your wife all the time. You quit telling them a nice and filthy joke and start singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. You start doing that, brother. Yeah. You gotta get baptized with the Holy Ghost, all right. Into the body of Christ, brother. Into the body of Christ. Ain't no more gospel. And I said, I believe you want to work your way in. Go ahead and work on. Work on, man. Work all the way to hell. That's what you'll do. Ain't no other gospel says that gospel of grace. Plus nothing. Minus nothing. And nothing else. I don't know another gospel. Then I want to say, I don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. James 4:14, for as you know not what shall be on tomorrow, but what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little while, and then vanisheth away. And then going there and you took a shower. I say, I don't know about some of you guys. Some of you don't like showers. I tell you, boy, when I go in, I like to say the hot water runs out. I just like to shower. I like two or three of them. I go in and say all the hot water runs out and starts getting cool. You know what? You step out of that shower, and when you step out, you look over where that mirror, you know, where you see these cliff up there and say, you can't see nothing. I tell you, boy, that vapor's all over that. It's got the whole thing covered. Well, it's steamed up in there, and you can't see nothing. But I tell you, go ahead and get busy and go ahead and do some more things. Dry everything, put a little powder on you, a little right guard here and there, and a little more here, but a little more there. And you turn around and look around, and that thing's getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and no time at all, but it's already gone. James, that's where your life is. Right. You know what causes vapor? Water. Turn your eye on high. Put your pan of water on there. It starts boiling. The steam starts rising. You hardly ever go over and look at that pot. Most time it's done gone. And when it's gone, the vapor's gone. And you know something about it? Nobody ever thinks much about vapor when it's gone. That's thinking on you. Nobody pays much attention to vapor if it's gone. That's where life is. I'm going to tell you, boy, you better do what you're going to do now. Because when you're gone, ain't going to be too long. They're going to forget you. But like you've been here 37, 38, 49, 50 years, something like that, I guarantee if you left, it wouldn't be no time at all. You'd done forgot about it. You said, preacher, how you know that? Because I pastored a church 8 years. I won most all under the Lord. Well, many times I've gone to meals when they didn't have nothing to eat and gone down and begged jobs for them. And you know what? I was in a revival. I've only been gone from that 10, going on my 11th month now. And I was in a revival within 6 miles of that church, and ain't one of them come. Not a one of them. You know what? I said, I just like a vapor. Whew, gone, there's that in. I don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. I don't even know if you're going to be here tomorrow. Funeral. Yes, I don't know what God is going to call on me to do. I don't know what God's going to call on me to do. I thought I was set for life. I thought I'd retire right there in that pastorate. Preacher's been in it. Nice pastorate. I thought I was going to retire right there. Before God ever called me to preach, I thought I was going to tie on the railroad. I loved that job. Had no plans to ever leave it. It's the only pipe filling the whole yard. I know I was going to leave that job and take it by the first old church 75 hours a month, but I didn't know God was going to call me to do that. And I thought, what, I'm going to be like that little boy. Is it John 6 when he fed the 5,000? And they said, Lord, I said, the people's hungry, send them away. Jesus said, no, don't send them away. Don't ever send the people away when they're hungry.
And one of them said, Lord, 200 pennyworth not sufficient. One of them spoke up, I believe the boy volunteered. You believe what you want to? It wouldn't hurt me a bit. I believe he volunteered.
I believe around.
Jerked on one of them's road tail. He finally looked down there, and I believe the little boy held his little lunch up. You know, there's two or three things he could have done with that. He could have
slipped it under his coat.
He could have took out part of it and given the other part. But he said, Lord, ain't much, but it's all.
Yeah.
It's everything I've got, Lord.
Now, if you listen to me, that boy's traveling with them.
He knew how many people was there.
He knew as well as anybody.
He knew what was in that lunch.
Couldn't feed them people.
But he knew that if he got what was in that lunch, that who was doing that preaching and that teaching, that he could take what was in his own lunch. Now, I heard one theologian, he said what happened was they took up them 12 baskets full that remained and said that was one for each tribe of Israel. I said, I don't believe that. I believe that little boy got him a little red wagon, and the disciples rode all that on his little red wagon, and he went back, pulled it back home, saying, look what Jesus did for me. Huh? That's what I believe. I believe he took him back home with him. What have you done with your lunch?
What happened to your dedication?
Last year, when I was here preaching like this,
y'all were shouting all over the place. There's people back over here shouting, waving hands. What happened to your zeal?
Your zeal don't run with the political.
Stronghold with him, does it?
What happened to your zeal?
What happened to your victory that you had? Maybe you snatched back a little bit of your lunch.
Amen.
I don't know what God's going to call on me to do. God said, all right, son, take up everything you got and move out. I said, where, Lord? He said, I'll tell you later. He said, that ain't my God. Well, that's the way he done Abraham.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Abraham never did know where he's going except to heaven.
That time to get him nailed down, get him get the altar built. God said, oh, pull out the tent. I done found out, but I ain't going to jot him down too deep.
Amen. That's it, but I don't know what God's going to call me to do. I can't walk away. Right now, I'm ready to do it, but whatever it is, I'm ready to do all the damn prayers I'm going to do. What tomorrow's going to bring on? What God's going to come on to do? The last? I don't know what I'll have to suffer. Peter said,
as if y'all know Jimmy Swagger, Oral Roberts, or any of them guys, would you please call them and tell them,
call my name, use my name, tell them I said this, and I wish they'd heard this. 1 Peter 4:19 said, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. I don't know what God's going to call on me to suffer. In just 2 weeks, my wife's got to go have major surgery. Just all kinds of things wrong. In 2 weeks, I was preaching one night in a revival way down in Alabama. Here's the message I preached on. Can you sleep on a stormy night? And I didn't know my wife was going to come in that night and tell me. But I said, honey, we're just going to commit our souls to God. He's faithful. I don't know how God may call on you to suffer. I don't know how God may lay you flat on your back. I don't know what God's going to call on me to do. And you don't either. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But I know who's going to bring it. I don't know another gospel to preach but the one I'm preaching. I don't know another name under heaven. Let's bow our heads. Job said, no, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why all these things are happening. I don't know why all of my animals have died. I don't know why all my children are dead. I don't know why my wife's turned against me. But he said, know this, I know my Redeemer liveth. Hey, do you know anything tonight? Do you know whom you've believed? Do you know you passed from death into life? Do you know God hears and answers prayer? Do you know you're going to have a brand new body? Do you know who your superior is? Father, in Jesus' name, we've done the best we could do. We thank you, dear Lord, for
just allowing us the privilege to do the best we could do.
Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd speak to somebody. The Lord, I know you're going to.
You spoke to me while I was preaching.
I'm glad, Lord, my sins have been subdued,
overtaken, overcome by force. I don't have to contend with them.
I have your way tonight. You know, some folk in here with your heads bowed down, but some folk in here,
you're still wrestling with past sins. You're still wrestling with what happened
back then. Don't you forget about them. God don't remember them.
If they're washed in the blood, He doesn't remember them.
Oh, do not let the world depart and close thine eyes against the light. Sinner, harden not your heart. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will thy love be saved? And why? Tomorrow, sun may never rise. To the blessed, I long to decide. Test that time will then be wise. Be safe, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will that be safe? Then why not? Now let's sing this next verse. If you're not saved, you will not know more than get on your knees. There'll be a preacher, or if you're a lady or a girl, there'll be a teacher, somebody kneeling with you to help you to get right with God, whatever that need. And while you're coming, let me say this. There's people in this building tonight. You're not in the fight like you used to be, are you? You've let the devil gain ground, haven't you? Now, don't shift it to the next guy. Tonight, we're in a battle for God. This is a fight. And some of you tonight know you're not in the fight. Why don't you tonight come? Get some choice friend or preacher or teacher to pray with. Ask God to fill you with the Spirit. Now there's some of you want to get some of your lost loved ones out here this week. Some of you want to get your backslidden family straightened out, don't you? Well, you can't do it without the power of God on you, in you, and to fill you. Why don't you just come, ask God to do it for you? Because you go out there and beat your head off and wear out the axe handle, never do a bit of good unless God's power is with you, on you, and in you, and fill you. You know that's the truth. So let's get in the fight for God. Let's don't wait around here Friday night, Saturday night, and go to shouting and talking about it. Let's get in it now. Then we'll shout to victory then. Amen. Why don't you mind? Now remember this. When you have a revival and you have Spirit-filled preaching and good heartwarming singing, and it's neglected. Now remember this. Right after that, you'll have some tragedies happen if people don't mind God. God warns, God calls, God woos, then God strikes. So why wait till God has to strike? You need to be close to God and you know it. Why don't you just move out and come on right now while we sing that next verse. Sing it. Come on. Find the Lord. Set once the stubborn wind. Come on, find the Lord. Don't fight God. Oh, why not to God? Will thou be saved? Now you listen to me. Some of you tonight, rejecting God, He's dealing with your heart to get closer to God,
get right with God and you don't do it. You just well walk up to God and slap in the face as to insult the Holy Spirit. And He's dealing your heart right now. Now you think you can get by. But if you do, you remind me, because you're the first one that ever did. God's calling us folks less mining. Sing another verse. I believe others will come. Will you sing? God ain't going to give no medal out for stubbornness. Remember that now. Just obey the Lord. Why not tonight, right now? Just come on down here. Let's pray. Hurry up right now. Why not tonight? Say another verse.
Do not let the word depart, and close thine eyes again.
Close this invitation.
Harden not your heart.
Get right with God. Do it right now.
Oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight?
Oh, why not tonight? Going to have prayer now, and I want Gloria, I want you and your trio to come get ready to sing, and I want us to pray for these to come to the altar. Pray for them that should have come and didn't do it. Let's pray God will stir their hearts, help them to see their need. Father in heaven, I want to pray now and ask you to help those that's come. Father, I want you to look down upon the weeping eyes, mourning hearts tonight. As they call upon you, I pray you'll help them, please. Then, Father, we want to pray for those tonight that they've let the devil chill their hearts. They're walking up all their heart is somewhere else. Lord, there's people in this building tonight need to get on fire for God so they can go out and bring their loved ones in. Going to die out in the wilderness. And I pray, oh God, you'll help us and wake us up to those facts. And Father, we just pray that you'd continue to bless our service tonight. Thank you for those that came up this morning. Thank you for the young man got saved. Thank you for those that come up tonight. We pray that others will mind God. Stir us, oh God. Please stir us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I won't